called, you know, Ella Henry has a background in sociology and Māori studies, and Māori development and Māori business as well. She hails from Ngāti Kuri in Te Rārua and also Ngāti Kahu ki Whangaroa. E hoa, tēnā koe, Hene. Ella, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for joining us today. Tēnā koe.
Hi, kia ora. Ngā mihi nenui kia koutou katoa. Tēnā koe, e hoa.
Ella, we're just witnessing almost what feels like a breakdown in messaging. I spoke with a wahine today who preferred not to use her surname, and I understood that. The protection of the anonymity was understandable because neighbours are looking down their noses at people who might have COVID symptoms. Her whānau have, some have anyway, but they're a big whānau. And to be told to self-isolate while one in one room has a positive case and the others in the room next door not, mokopuna in the lounge with their mamas, also, you know, but sharing facilities, I mean, it's become a bit out of hand and super difficult. But she said the messaging from the Ministry of Health has been really confusing for that whānau. Could you share some kōrero? Do you think that why that might be?
Yeah, no, I think what we're seeing is where the cracks are starting to show in an already overworked system. And let's be clear, you and I probably both have whānau who work in frontline jobs in the health sector. They're all, the ones I know, are utterly exhausted. So they're looking for direction from above also. But I guess it would be very easy, and I listened a little bit to what Shane was saying, it would be very easy to just stand on a moral high ground and be critical. But I don't know of any other country in the world that's doing it perfectly, because these are such unprecedented times. And, you know, who would have thought 2 years ago that we would be facing a global pandemic? Who would have thought 1 year ago when we were enjoying the privileges of elimination strategy that 2021 would end up being the way it is? So I do think that those in power politically and in large government organisations are like all of us, looking for solutions, looking for the science to make better decisions. But this bloody disease keeps changing the rules. And, you know, we're just going to get on top of Delta, and who knows, there's another 20 letters in the Greek alphabet after Delta. Who knows how much more it could mutate? So I think that's just the big global picture. At a local level, I do think, though, that there's been huge gaps in the way that government departments have treated Māori and iwi in particular. And if you look at those areas where Māori have managed to wrestle some self-determination, some tinoranga teretanga, they've done extraordinary work, but we still have a Ministry of Health that doesn't want to share data with whānau ora about how to reach out to those Māori who are not vaccinated. I come from the far north where some of my whānau barely have electricity. You know, they're running their homes on jennies and solar power. They don't get current news. They only drive to town once a week. So it's all very well and good pumping millions of dollars into flash advertising campaigns. These people need the local hapū, the kaumātua kuia, the local doctors to be ringing them or catching up with them when they go to town. So, yes, I do think that this government has work to do in terms of giving more power to Māori organisations and iwi entities to be managing our own strategies in consultation, not getting told what to do when everything else has stopped working and getting blamed when it doesn't work, but to actually take a community partnership approach to working with Māori to solve the problems at the flax roots, because that's where people are not getting vaccinated, because they're fearful. Now, over and above that, we've got the crisis that's happening economically, because our people are most vulnerable, living, you know, many people in houses under parlous vulnerable conditions because they're rentals. More needs to be done to ensure messaging at that flax roots level, particularly to Māori, Pacifica and migrant communities, you know, who might speak English as a second language, are getting unified messaging. And that direction has got to come from the top. I'm sick and tired of, you know, listening to the Director General saying, oh, everything's under control, and then some crisis occurs, and there's never any kind of, oh, sorry, or we'll try and fix it. It's just, no, we're doing the right thing every day. And Māori see the cracks, and we need to be able to be given the resources to fix those cracks as they occur.
Thank you. It's a very difficult cope-up to try and get to the people who, quite obviously, don't want a bar of it. And some are in the hills. Some of them are waving flags and protesting. not all of them are Māori, as you're well aware. When we look at the anti-vax protest movement, and they tried to block motorways across the country as well and say, follow us, we have freedom at our core, the rest of us are starting to get super pissed off with them. And also the way that they've tahaed some of our proud taonga, I'm talking our tino rangatiratanga flags and our whakaputunga flags, flying alongside Trump and white supremacist rhetoric and ideology. It's a sad picture that's been painted. And, of course, I spoke with Taku Palai earlier in the morning about them trying to tahaea kamate, for instance. He says, hey, this whole thing's not about kamate, it's about ka ora. And I thought that was a useful point. What do you make of the protest movement and the intrusion that they have made into taha Māori symbolism?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I have been a great fan of the way Māori have been able to galvanise a quite small group of people to make significant change. If you go back and look at the foreshore march of 2004, which led to the formation of the Māori Party, it seemed like there were millions of people, but it was probably only 15 or 20,000 Māori people who made those fundamental changes to many pieces of legislation and politics. So I think that small is a good way of galvanising protest. However, this current situation where what is essentially a very small group of people is galvanising the whole country around anti-vaxxing worries me, because the statistics, the clear facts show that if 90% of New Zealanders of the correct age, 12 plus, have had the first vaccination, that's only a quite small bunch left, but they're getting an awful lot of oxygen in the media. And what that means is it seems like a bigger movement than it is. And unfortunately, when you give oxygen to little fringe movements like that, you actually encourage them to grow. There's a part of me that would like to just scream out to the media, stop reporting them. You know, stop making them the top of the news. Make them page 3 a byline, because they are a fringe group. They are not the great majority of us who really just want to stay safe, who just want to protect our whānau, who just want to ensure that we live the next year. And I worry that the Tāmakis and their Destiny Church are getting millions of dollars worth of free advertising because the media keeps putting them on the front page in the top 5 minutes of the news stories. I think that if we want them to be seen as the kind of fringe thinkers, that we should put them on the fringe of the news, not the top of the news. So that's one of my issues. The other is that I worry very much that those most vulnerable are often captured by rhetoric, by glossy pictures, by grand statements, by ideologues. And I think that far too many of our people who are just tentative, our Māori people, are being swept up in this call for freedom when it clearly is not freedom. It clearly is not tino rangatiratanga. There is nothing about self-determination that gives you the right to endanger your own whānau. That is wonky thinking as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, what I try to do is just talk amongst my own whānau, amongst my own community. I'd like to see a lot more of those social media influences and music and sport that are very prominent for young Māori and Pacifica being given the right to send out positive messages about keeping the whānau safe and about, at this point in time, vaccination is one of the few silver bullets that we have in these unprecedented times. And I say that as somebody whose parents survived the 1919 epidemic. And they still had a sense of humour when I knew them when later in their lives. So, you know, we can get through this, but we have to do it together.
Kia ora. Some will be tempted to punch them in the nose.
Well, and that so solves problems, doesn't it, Dale?
Ella, thanks a lot, Ella. All the best to you. Thank you.
I'm
not encouraging that, but I bet there are a few people who have been thinking it.